Bienvenidos a SpanishPod101.com. ¿Qué tal todos? Soy Lizzie.
Hi, Alan here.
Newbie Series, lesson number 5.
Where is he from?
How are you, Alan?
I'm just great, Liz. Good to see you back. Here we are for another edition of the Newbie Series, coming to you on demand from SpanishPod101.com.
El castellano on demand.
Bringing it to you from Lima, Peru.
Our great city, full of history and warmth. Nuestra gran ciudad llena de historia y calidez.
Welcome to the fifth lesson of SpanishPod101.com's Newbie Series.
This is the place to get your feet wet in the study of Spanish.
So trust us, come right in. The water is fine. Bubbly, bubbly, bubbly.
Here we have all the insider tips essential for learning and improving your Spanish.
You know, I couldn't agree more with you, Lizzie. And we are going to discuss different aspects of the language, the culture, and the customs that you will find in Spanish-speaking countries throughout the world.
We are your one-stop shop.
Well, as long as you don't only stop once, you gotta come back.
True. Keep taking some time with us and you will learn all you need.
So sync up your iPods, plug in those headphones, download the PDF, and crank up the volume. Lesson number 5 is on its way.
Yes, today we have lesson number 5.
Now, in this series, we focus on the basics of the language so that you can start speaking Spanish as soon as possible.
So, let's review a bit what we've been studying.
That's right, guys. For our first 4 lessons, we've looked at the verbs ser and estar, each on their own, and both of these, which mean to be. Well, today, Lizzie, what do we have in store?
Today, we're going to start comparing and contrasting them so that we get a better idea of how they're actually used.
Right on. Now, today's conversation is a useful one for anyone traveling to a Spanish-speaking country.
Here, you'll learn to ask and answer the questions, where is he from and where is she from?
Hey, Liz, where does this conversation take place today?
This conversation takes place in a bar in Lima, Peru.
Well, that'll be really interesting for me, Lizzie. I mean, I never go to bars. Well, hey, Liz, you know what? By the way, and we should remind the people, we have some information about Lima in the forum, too.
Audience, come visit Lima. You'll love it. We have many traditional places, diversity of food, and our warm hospitality.
And guys, Liz is just not reading that off a tourism brochure. It really is a great place. Come visit Lima. You'll love it, but be careful. You might be like me and never leave. I came here 13 years ago for a 2-year visit. So, I mean, I think get a sense of just how much fun it is in Lima. There's so much to do. All right, so now we're about to listen to today's lesson conversation. Now, as we listen to this conversation, follow along on the PDF. But also, guys, really try to imagine yourself there. Put yourself in the situation. That's what this is all about. Okay, here we go.
¿De dónde es él?
Él es de Inglaterra.
¿De dónde es ella?
Ella es de los Estados Unidos.
Ella está contenta, ¿no?
And now, slower.
Una vez más. Esta vez, lentamente.
¿De dónde es él?
Él es de Inglaterra.
¿De dónde es ella?
Ella es de los Estados Unidos.
Ella está contenta, ¿no?
And now, with the translation.
Ahora incluiremos la traducción.
¿De dónde es él?
Where is he from?
Él es de Inglaterra.
He's from England.
¿De dónde es ella?
Where is she from?
Ella es de los Estados Unidos.
She's from the United States.
Ella está contenta, ¿no?
She's happy, isn't she?
So, Lizzie, in this conversation, we hear a couple of Peruvians talking about some foreigners in Lima.
Yeah, Lima is really a cosmopolitan city.
You know, it is, and that really surprised me when I came here. I was just expecting Latinos, but really, you know, we have a very large Chinese population here, Italian as well, German, and even one or two Canadians.
Ah, y ellos nos dejan su rica comida.
You're not talking about the Canadians leaving the delicious food, but I will agree with the Italians. They've really left their mark on Peruvian cuisine, and the Chinese, of course. Okay, on to the vocab. Here we're going to break these words down syllable by syllable so that you can hear exactly how each word sounds.
Vamos.
So let's begin with...
¿De dónde?
From where?
¿De dónde? ¿De dónde?
Next we'll hear...
Él.
He.
Él. Él.
Then...
Ella.
She.
Ella. Ella.
Now we'll listen to...
Inglaterra.
England.
Inglaterra. Inglaterra.
And finally...
Estados Unidos.
United States.
Estados Unidos. Estados Unidos.
Great. Thanks, Lizzie. Perfect as always. Now, guys, before we move on, let's focus briefly on the pronunciation of one of these words.
Sounds good. Which one?
Well, let's listen to the word for England.
Inglaterra.
Right. Inglaterra. Listen to the way that double R is rolled. Not Inglaterra, but Inglaterra.
Inglaterra.
That's the one. So now let's take a closer look at how some of these words were used. And by doing so, we're also going to learn how we can make good use of them. Let's start out with the phrase, de dónde.
De dónde?
Sí, de dónde. Lizzie, I think there's something very important here that we've got to point out.
What's that, Alan?
The word order.
That is an important point. What should we notice?
Well, notice how the preposition de comes at the beginning of the sentence.
So, in English, it's almost as if it were asking, from where are you?
That's right. Liz, can you think of a good way to remember this expression?
Claro. The word donde on its own simply means where. But when you add the preposition de in front of it, you get from where.
Well, that should make things easier. Lizzie, ¿de dónde eres tú?
Yo soy de Lima. I am from Lima. ¿Y de dónde eres tú donde quiera que nos estés escuchando? And where are you, wherever you may be listening?
That's right. Sometimes we wonder, who's listening to us and where are they from? So guys, why not sign into the forum and let us know a little bit about you? That would be fun. Let's build some community here. Now, moving on. Since our next word is él, why don't we combine examples? Are you ready for that, Liz?
¿De dónde es él?
Where is he from? I think it's a pretty obvious translation for él.
Maybe for some, but either way, él means he.
Now, we call this kind of word a personal pronoun, and here it's masculine, and it's also singular. I mean, he is one person, and he is a male.
Also, it's a good idea to remember that the verb conjugations of the he form are always going to be identical to the she form and the you formal form.
That means there's less to memorize. Now, how about the counterpart to this? I'm talking about ella. Lizzie, why don't we go further and keep combining some examples?
¿De dónde es ella?
Where is she from? So, ella means she. This too, like él, is a personal pronoun in the singular. But in this case, it's the feminine form.
That's why it means she and not he.
Again, guys, remember the verb conjugation will always be the same for él and ella. Lizzie, how about some examples?
Well, my first two examples demonstrated this, but just for good measure. Él es de Bolivia and ella es de Bolivia. Both use the same verb form, es, which means is.
You know, I have to say, I'm really happy with examples today. I like the pattern. Let's combine two more of our words. Next up is contento.
Él está contento.
He is happy. Now, the word contento, which means happy or content, is an adjective.
Exactly, Alan. That means that it describes or modifies a noun or pronoun.
Now, there's something else that we should point out.
I was just about to, Alan.
Okay, but please let me do the honors.
Oh, okay.
The adjective contento is masculine when the pronoun él is masculine. That means if we were to say she is happy, we would have to say
ella está contenta. Here, the pronoun ella is feminine, and therefore the adjective contenta is feminine as well. What is this called?
We call it concordance. Now, in my opinion, it is one of the more difficult little aspects to learn. So get ready to make mistakes, but make mistakes you must. You know, I have some kids. I have two kids. Both of them are under 10. And they make mistakes all the time. That's the way they learn. Nothing wrong with making mistakes. It's God's way of saying you need to improve.
Agree with you, Alan LaRue. But that's okay. The more mistakes we make in learning, the better we get. Is that the idea of immersion in your school? If an English speaker can't speak English with anyone, I guess they are forced to make mistakes.
That's right. It's all about making mistakes and getting better. You know, Lizzie, when you think about it, speaking a language isn't about being perfect. It's about being able to communicate. And we have different levels of communication. Even by learning a little bit of Spanish, you'll have opportunities to talk to people on the street. Then you get a little bit better and you can begin to handle more complex issues. And little by little by little, you begin to grow. And it is such a wonderful experience to feel that growth inside of you. So when we hear the adverb donde, what should we think of?
The word donde always implies some sense of place or space, whether we're talking about an origin or simply a temporary location.
I see. So we'll relate donde with the English word where. As in the example, ¿dónde estás? Or, ¿where are you?
Muy buen ejemplo. Good example. And this may seem really easy, but as we move on and introduce more adverbs, it'll be important to learn how to differentiate one from another.
Since repetition is key, again, ¿dónde means where and relates to place or space?
¿Dónde? 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 ¿Dónde?
Okay, that's right, guys. ¿Dónde? Where? Okay, now let's get down to business. Time for the down and dirty grammar.
Why do you say it like that?
Come on, Lizzie. Grammar isn't everyone's favorite, let's face it. But, you know, it's necessary.
Like medicine.
Yeah, like medicine.
Where are we starting?
We've said that the verb estar refers to temporary conditions of being, and that the verb ser refers to permanent states of being.
Right. So are we exploring that?
It's a cliche, but I think it's better that we show and don't tell. Let's go back to where the verb estar appeared in the conversation. Lizzie, if you would be so kind to do the honors.
Ella está contenta.
She is happy. Now, what does this is really trying to say?
Because the verb estar is used here in the form of está, we know that her being happy is temporary.
Of course. If you were happy all the time, you wouldn't be happy, would you?
Alan, are you getting deep?
Well, think about it. You know, it's a legitimate statement. So it's like saying she's happy now or she is happy here.
Right, but it doesn't tell us that she is a happy person.
All right, so it doesn't tell us that she is generally an upbeat person, nor that her happiness defines her as who she is. We call that perky.
With estar, you only know how she is, as opposed to ser, which would tell us what she's like.
Lizzie, to make this point just a little bit clearer, would you please create maybe a similar sentence, but this time use the verb ser?
Ella es feliz.
Now that is, she is happy. Notice how the English translation doesn't change, but the meaning in Spanish does change.
By saying ella es feliz, we are saying she is a happy person, or she is defined by her happiness, like me.
You know, Liz, I couldn't agree more. You are a very happy person. Now,
yes.
In this case, the kind of being that we are talking about is permanent.
It's not subject to time.
I think another example could be in order.
Ella está aburrida.
She is bored. Wow, that's a switch from being happy. She must be manic depressive. So you see that the verb estar is used.
This is because aburrida is a temporary condition.
Hey, especially if she's listening to SpanishPod101.com, because boredom will end the minute you press that download button. I've got a question.
Sí?
How would you say that she is perpetually bored? That she is, in fact, a really boring person?
Ella es aburrida.
Es. She is boring. Great. So there you have it. Estar for temporary conditions.
And ser for permanent states.
Lizzie, as a native Spanish speaker, do you find that many foreigners, when learning the Spanish language, confuse the verb ser and estar?
Actually, Alan, yes. It's a really common mistake. The thing is, with ser, you're talking about someone's person, but with estar, you're talking about a way that a person is.
You know, that's an interesting way to put it. And, you know, it seems to coincide with the idea of ser, expressing permanent kinds of being, and estar, expressing temporary states of being.
Exactly.
All right, guys, this is as far as we go for today. Now, a couple of suggestions. If it seems like we went just a little bit fast for you, try playing this podcast from the beginning again. On the other hand, if you think you understood today's topic, stop by the Learning Center at SpanishPod101.com and try your hand at today's review.
Also, be sure to check out the forum.
That's right, guys. Have a suggestion for a lesson, a topic you'd like us to cover? All you need to do is let us know and we'll work it into the curriculum of upcoming lessons. And don't forget to stop by the forum and just let us know who you are and where you're from.
Yes, it's very important to us. Okay, take care of yourselves and never give up on your dreams. Bye.
That's right, guys. Be good. Have fun. Study hard.
Ciao.
Ciao.